Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for coming to the Lord's house tonight. It's so great to be in His presence with you all this evening. A call to prayer. Well, I know I'm preaching to some members of the choir tonight. And yet, we all need at times the reminder concerning practice, schedule, rehearsal, and performance. There was a day when Jesus went into His house, into His temple, and He made a statement. He made a clear statement concerning the place. And you have to know that the statement still reigns and still speaks. And there are temples that need the announcement of Jesus. They need to hear it. The people need to hear Him. For this is an hour when His house needs to know what it's to be known for. You know, all the other P's find their place and have their place, like populace, programs, even preaching, performance, provision, and so on. The book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verses 6 and 7, the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Jeremiah 7, verse 11, has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. An Old and New Testament problem. And now see Jesus and hear Jesus while in the earth. Matthew 21, 13, and He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. The Gospel of Mark, Mark 11, 17, then He taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of thieves. It is written. Is it not written? He said to them, then He taught, saying to them. The context here, Matthew 21, verses 12 to 16, then Jesus went into the temple of God. He went into church and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to Him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. The Gospel of Mark. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then He taught, saying to them, is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. And what a day in church. Can you believe it? Jesus driving them out of his temple. Driving things out of his temple. Emmanuel, God with us, God in flesh among us, overturning tables. Overturning seats, not allowing anyone to carry wares through the temple. Making the announcement that they had made his house into something it was never meant to be. A den of thieves. A house with a lost identity. This crisis, an identity crisis. Jesus and his church. The Voice Bible, upon reaching the temple that morning, Jesus dealt with those who were selling and buying animals for sacrifices and drove them out of the area. He turned over the tables of those who exchanged money for the temple pilgrims and the seats of those selling birds, and he physically prevented anyone from carrying anything through the temple. What a day in church. This excerpt. At the temple, Jesus responds in shock to the scene before him. He acts decisively and with great emotion against those who have turned God's house into a place where pilgrims are exploited. He has a message, and like the prophets of old, this message is better seen than heard. Because the temple leadership has allowed profiteers and merchants to set up shop in the court of the Gentiles. They are making ridiculous profits. For the people who come long distances to worship, it is normal, a normal practice to have merchants selling animals for the pilgrims to sacrifice. What is not normal and what is immoral is where and how they transact business. Jesus takes issue with robbers profiteering in his Father's house. Robbers profiteering in his Father's house. You know, with this, he is not pleased. And it remains true today. You know, I can see so clearly why Jesus said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer first and foremost." Because he knew the power, he knew the need, he knew the effect, he knew the results. He knew what happens to a house of his that becomes known for other things first. He knew what happens to a house of his that forsakes prayer, the boiler room, the power plant, people that neglect and leave off prayer. He knew what happens to a house of his that gets caught up in unholy profit-making when his people become robbers, profiteering in his Father's house. You know, maybe this is a call to make his house great again, to make his house known for what it is to be known for again, to make his house pure again, to make his house holy again. Tables and seats. And in John 2, a whip of cords, driving out and overturning. You know he was serious. Is it not written, "My house shall be called a house of prayer"? A house of prayer for all nations? Oh, Jesus, keep us right. Help us keep the manner, the message. My house was designated a house of prayer for the nations. You've turned it into a hangout for thieves. Oh, that a multitude was struck with astonishment at his teaching. That the entire crowd was carried away by his teaching. You know, Jesus takes issue with robbers profiteering in his Father's house. You know, it may not be the selling of animals for pilgrim sacrifice. I wonder, could there be another form of thievery? Like if a church isn't known for what Jesus wanted it known for? If a church isn't praying? If a church doesn't have prayer gatherings, prayer services, if a church isn't praying for the nations, is this not a form of robbery? Stripping this and these away from his house and the setup, tables and seats instead of worn out knees. And even if it looks smart and clean, so true, if the fires go out in the boiler room of the church, the place will still look smart and clean, but it will be cold. The prayer room of the church is the boiler room for spiritual life. The amplified four-footed tables of the money changers and the seats of those who dealt in doves. Spirit, speak to us. And I hear you, Lord, let us never become dealers in the Holy Ghost. Dealers of the Holy Ghost. The message reads, they arrived at Jerusalem immediately. On entering the temple, Jesus started throwing out everyone who had set up shop there. Buying and selling, he kicked over the tables of the bankers and the stalls of the pigeon merchants. He didn't let anyone carry a basket through the temple. And then he taught them, quoting this text, "My house was designated a house of prayer for the nations. You've turned it into a hangout for thieves." If you allow the liberty tonight, heaven forbid we become pigeon merchants selling a cheap imitation of the Holy Ghost, a knockoff dove, even if it appears to be clean. My house was designated a house of prayer. You know, if Jesus was here right now, and he is, if you were to ask him, what's your house first to be known for, designated as, you know his answer would be the same. A house of prayer. And all the other P's have their place. Jesus was concerned with prayer. He knew and knows the power of prayer, how important it is. And yet many believers and many churches struggle to really pray, to really get into it. And it shows you where the battle is, church. It shows you where the battle is. What Jesus wants, we know what he wants, we know what is written. Is it not written? My house is to be a house of prayer for all peoples. But you know, it appears that some weren't getting in, and that a dark silence had fallen on the place. But look at what started happening. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." You know, I believe with all my heart, if we hold to what is right, and if need be, get back to what is right, known for what Jesus stated his house is to be known for, there will be a gathering the right gathering. A holy gathering, an inflow, an entering in, and Jesus will begin healing people. He will do wonderful things, move in wonderful ways, perform wonders and miracles in His house, and there will be the unmistakable sound of children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The cry of acclamation and adoration. I know I'm preaching to the choir, some members of the choir tonight, but would you join me? Would you believe with me? And what of this sin-hungry age? It's where we're at. What of this sin-hungry age? Well, Leonard Ravenhill said, for this sin-hungry age, we need a prayer-hungry church. That's where the power is. The other P's find their place, but that's where the power is. We need a prayer-hungry church. Prayer-hungry children. Prayer-hungry youth. You know, praying's not just for the old people. For mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. Don't despise your youth. Seek God in your youth. Press in your youth. Young adults, young marrieds, you know, we need some young married couples that are prayer hungry. And if they only knew how they need to get prayer hungry. And no matter our age, how long we've been at this, we need to continue. We need to press on. We need to remain prayer hungry. Can I remind us of heaven's bowls tonight? You know, Emmanuel knew. He knew they were up there. My house. These bowls. Revelation 5, 1-8, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" Get caught up in the heavenly vision tonight. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Jesus walked into church. My house was designated a house of prayer. Emmanuel, God in flesh. These bowls. You know, fill up the bowls. Church, let's load up the bowls. Let's fill them with the prayers of the saints. This is what they were made for, and this is what belongs in them. Contribute. Let incense rise. Contribute. Can you imagine if every person was prayer hungry? Every Christian was prayer hungry. Every believer was prayer hungry. Every son and daughter was prayer hungry. Every child was prayer hungry. Every youth was prayer hungry. Every young adult, every young married couple, not just prayer hungry when they need prayer, or when they're hungry, or when they have a problem, but prayer hungry. Prayer for the nations. It's interesting, he didn't say, you know, my house shall first and foremost be a house of prayer for you. For the nations. Because ultimately his plan, that's what he's all about. The cause of Christ in the earth. My house shall be called a house of prayer. This is what's supposed to be known for people. It's like Jesus saying, I don't know what you've designated this house to be, but I designated my house to be a house of prayer. Revelation 8, beginning of verse 1, then he opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Hey, were you here last Sunday night? Remember Paul and Silas praying and singing at midnight? Praying, and what happened? An earthquake. Could it be? Listen, heaven's ready to move. Heaven's ready to act, but we must pray, filling up those bowls with prayers, prayers of the saints, prayers of the saint. E.M. Bounds said, our praying, however, needs to be pressed and pursued with an energy that never tires, a persistency which will not be denied, and a courage which never fails. What's the answer? A prayer-hungry church. The Amplified Bible, when he, the Lamb, broke open the seventh seal, there was silence for about half an hour in heaven. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel came and stood over the altar. He had a golden censer, and he was given very much incense, fragrant spices and gums which exhale perfume when burned, that he might mingle it with the prayers of all the people of God, the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, the perfume, arose in the presence of God with the prayers of all the people of God, the saints, from the hand of the angel. So the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it upon the earth. Then there followed peals of thunder and loud rumblings and blasts and noises and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. You know, let's give the angel something to work with. I mean, I have no idea, but are there times when he's like, man, I don't have much to work with? Thank God the people are praying on the planet. That God has his prayer-hungry people. Thank God that there are still some sane churches. You know that still pray? Still gather to pray? Haven't turned the prayer room into the party room? Prayer hungry. The Darby translation, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he might give efficacy to the prayers of all the saints at the golden altar, which was before the throne. Wow. Wow. You know, sometimes we might think we're just coming in here and, well, it said that prayer is at 9:15, so let's go. Or prayer is at 5:15, so. Or you wake up Monday morning, we're supposed to pray, right? But let the Lord open your understanding tonight. As we take in these scriptures, there's way more going on. Way more, just like worship, there's way more going on that we might understand. We might just think it's, you know, a sing-along, a sing-song. That's all it is. Let's get through these four or five songs. It's half an hour, 45 minutes, and let's just move on. God, help us to see there's so much more to this. And, you know, it might just change our prayer life if we come in and it's like, I'm filling up heaven's bowls tonight. And when we start to get distracted, I'm filling up heaven's bowls tonight. And someone comes that's a distraction, I'm filling up heaven's bowls tonight. And you should be too. Contribute. Contribute. You know, prayer is hard work. It's labor. You think it's easy? If it was that easy, everybody would be doing it. But it's hard work, and that's why people, you know, we shy away from work that we don't have to really give ourselves to, because we have enough labor in the earth. But prayer is work. It's labor. And, you know, sometimes when you wake up in the morning, like, do you always, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but every Monday morning, it's like, I'm just ready to go to work. No, but you go because it's right. And you give yourself to it. That's a committed saint. I want to encourage us tonight. The Lord intends to hear. And I quote, if God did not mean to hear us, he would not bid us pray. And heaven wants to hear us. Jesus is saying, my house is a house of prayer. Like, heaven's listening. There's a lot going on up there. Bowls are being filled with the prayers of the saints. Angels are ready to move. God partnering with his people. If he bids us pray, he intends to hear. He indeed hears our prayers, the prayers of a praying people. Take heart and be encouraged tonight and be emboldened in your prayers, in your prayer life. The Lord hears you. The Lord is listening. Private prayer, corporate prayer, the Lord is listening. He's ready. He intends to hear. I want to remind us tonight that no situation is impossible. If we give up praying, what are we saying? Impossible. But no situation is impossible. Charles Spurgeon said, we must never cease to pray. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. Good news tonight, Jesus is alive and Jesus lives and he will live forever. And this I believe, when faith lays hold, impossibilities must yield. Let's get praying. Make his house great again and known for the right. Don't worry about what other churches are known for. If they're not known, first and foremost, as a house of prayer, if this isn't one of the key elements of the church, I wonder if Jesus is pleased. Because there was a day he strolled into church and he made an announcement. And he showed them what he thought of what was going on. I want to encourage us tonight that prayers go up as a memorial. Acts 10, verses 1 to 4, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. That's powerful. You don't think they're getting past the roof? Or the roof in your living room? Your prayer closet? You think they just remain in your car? Prayer's going up. Centurion, effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Church, there may be more to delay than we think. We need to continue to pray. We need to press in. Let's not give up. Let's continue in right manner. I'm going to read a bit of text here. But here's the thing. I want to encourage those tonight that maybe you're here and you're like, I pray and I pray and I've been praying and praying and there's just delay. Delay. I'm filling up the bowls. Delay. I'm sending up prayers. Delay. Like, what's taking so long? Well, again, you know, we're so relegated to this earth. We're so just stuck in naturalness. Daniel 10, beginning of verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth. Nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell on them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision. And no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of the Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is there any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me and said to me, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. I wonder, you know, Daniel, he might have thought, what's taking so long? And you're here tonight and you say, well, I could handle 21 days. You know, I know testimonies of people that prayed for 21 years. And then the answer. Don't give up. And when there's a delay, you never know what's going on up there. It could be happening tonight concerning what you're praying for, what you're believing for. You don't think there's a battle for your son, for your daughter? You don't think there's a battle for your home? You're praying. You don't think there's a fight going on? Don't stop praying. And if God could speak to you tonight, he would say from the first moment you set your heart to start praying about that, I heard you. I hear you. Take heart. You know, we don't come into another prayer service, Christ City Prayer on Tuesday night, or our own personal prayer time, and well, here we go again. I don't know if he's going to hear. Let's change our mindset tonight and line it up with Scripture and understand that he hears. And let's just keep praying and believing. Let's have the worship team return tonight. J.C. Ryle said, the cause of Christ does not need less working, but it does need among the workers more praying. Simple call tonight to enact with incredible efficacy. A call to prayer. Are you a praying man? Are you a praying woman? Given often to prayer? Effective, fervent praying from a righteous vessel? I remember so long ago now, I was at a camp, and there was this prayer service before every meeting, and we're in there praying, and where is everybody? You know, even the pastor of that church wasn't in the prayer service. Then we come into the camp meeting, and well, I guess it's all on the ministers, you know, who were praying and seeking God. But God responds to the hunger of people, prayer hungry. Prayer hungry. I remember another time talking to a minister, and man, he could worship. But he didn't know how to pray. And asked him, and he's like, you know, I've never really been into that prayer thing. I mean, it was the most bizarre conversation. But you know, the truth is we can be like that as Christians. I'm into the worship. Prayer thing? That's like hard work. Or, I'm into prayer. Worship? Depends on the song. Prayer-hungry people. Awaken to the reality of the power of prayer tonight. The call of Christ concerning His church, the design for His church, prayer for all people, prayer for all nations. Listen, our nation needs prayer people. Like, we should be coming into the house and you say, well, I don't really know what to pray about. Well, first and foremost, prayer for all nations. Just start lifting up the nation of Canada. Don't give up on it. Some have thrown in the towel. They don't even pray for Canada anymore. They don't pray for the leaders. They don't. It's like lost cause. You don't think there's a battle going on for this nation? Wake up. The battle going on for the sons and daughters of this nation, the next generation. The battle going on that the churches might be crippled. That the message of the gospel might be silenced. We come in and we just start praying. Lord, I'm praying for the nation today. Can a nation be changed? Can a nation be saved? Can a nation be turned back to You? You know, and then we're praying for our sons and daughters. We're praying for the ministry going on in the house. You know, I'm just giving you stuff. You can write it down right now. It's good material. Pray for the people at the cafe that they make just fantastic lattes today. And pray for the people at the door that they're friendly and that individuals are greeted and they feel at home and welcomed in the house of the Lord. Pray for the offering that people are generous and they offer alms like Cornelius that go up as a memorial before God. Pray for the pastor that his message is okay. Pray for the worship. Pray for the sound man that, you know, he can hear all right today. Pray for the people. Once you really get into it and you get prayer hungry, an hour just ain't enough. No situation is impossible. Your prayers are going up as a memorial. When there is delay, let us remember it might not be as we think. You know what? Concerning your prayers, some prince of the dark kingdom might be withstanding. But behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help. Let's pray. And I want to encourage us tonight, let's use all kinds of prayer. Private, public, that is corporate, stammering lips, vocal utterance, and unction. Let us use all and not neglect even one. Ravenhill said this, the true church lives and moves and has its being in prayer. And then he went on to say this, and I know many of you have heard this before. The Cinderella of the church today is the prayer meeting. This handmaid of the Lord is unloved and unwooed because she is not dripping with the pearls of intellectualism, nor glamorous with the silks of philosophy. Neither is she enchanting with the tiara of psychology. She wears the homespuns of sincerity and humility, and so is not afraid to kneel. And you know, I thought concerning those words, go throughout the kingdom, the glass slipper fits. It's time for a crowning. It's time to crown the Cinderella of the church. To crown the prayer meeting. I can only imagine what would happen if every church in this city would start praying. If they would gather for corporate prayer, if every believer would gather and just say, you know what, Sunday we're going. I know we all have schedules, some can't make it, you know, to a Tuesday night prayer meeting, all right. But you can pray all week. Use private prayer, corporate prayer. You know, it's so important. I grew up in the house of the Lord, and you know, my whole life I've been going to church. Sunday morning and Sunday night, pre-service prayer. I've visited many churches over the years, seen a lot of things, and it always blessed my heart when there was a prayer meeting. I remember traveling one time in Bible college with a choir, and we'd go to these different churches, and so many times it would just be the choir sitting in the prayer room. Not one person would show up. And we're calling on God for a move in that place. But where are the prayer-hungry people? Where are the people crying out and calling on God for a move, for an encounter? Now, we know that God is gracious and He moves despite our failings and our shortcomings, doesn't He? I remember other times we'd go into these churches and the prayer room was quite small. You know, we got a large prayer room in here. We used to be over in the hall over there and it was quite packed, and so moved in here for various reasons. There's lots of room, people. Lots of room. But I remember going into this one church and we went into the prayer room right before we were supposed to go out and minister and sing that night. And I was so blessed because there were a couple elderly women in there that had been pillars in the church for a long, long time. And it was their pattern to gather that prayer room before every service and pray. Thank God. Thank God that they were in there praying. And you know, they were praying for the service. They were praying for the ministry to go forth. They were praying for sons and daughters. They were praying for their city. You don't think God's looking down and saying, that's my people. That's my people. Blesses my heart. They get it. They know what my house is to be known for. Those elderly ladies right there, he's looking down. They get it. And they have designated my house just as I have. Martin Luther said, we'll stand after this. Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. ...100% true. It kind of blows my mind. Like, we're Christians, but we don't want to pray. I just don't get it. I'll never get it. We're Christians, but we don't want to worship. We're Christians, but we don't want to go to church. We're Christians, but we don't want to go to the family gathering. We're Christians, but, you know. Lord, help us. And you know what will help us? Prayer. And don't be discouraged if you come in on a Sunday morning, you're like, there's not that many people in the prayer room. Or Sunday night, there's not that many people. That's okay. That's all right. Just keep encouraging people. How about you pray for the people that aren't there that should be there? Lord, I'm praying for them. God, I pray that you'd work on them. You'd put your finger on them. Lord, a little holy conviction is okay too, you know. that they too would understand and join the army. Join the army of the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Lord, we give you all the glory in this house. Lord, you're so worthy. You're so worthy, God. You're so worthy. We sing tonight. Worthy, God.